No one warned us. No one said you were going to lose both engines at a lower altitude than any jet in history.
Simulations showed that you could make it back to the airport.
Not possible. I felt it go.
From director Clint Eastwood, critics are calling it a triumph. 5 stars.
Brace for impact.
What if I didn't get this wrong? What if I endangered the lives of all those passengers?
People call you a hero.
I don't feel like a hero.
Sully, Miracle on the Hudson. In cinemas December 2nd. Certificate 12A.
Hello and welcome to episode 39 of the Tottenham Way podcast. I am your host, Tom. Dan, let's start again because that's going to make a lot of noise. To episode 39 of the Tottenham Way podcast. I'm your host, Tom. We have a return, a twice return this week. We've got Jim at Stylish Riot. Been a while, mate. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm missing Ollie.
You are missing Ollie, because in his stead this week, we have got Rich Arrowsmith. Welcome back, Rich.
Cheers. I'm not a suitable replacement at all.
Oh, behave. You're posh. No, Ollie's in Thailand. So the double act, Ant and Dec, have been broken up for the week. Which ITV presenter would you like to be, Rich? Stephen Mulhern?
Holly Willoughby.
They always had Kat Deeley on SMTV Live. So, yeah.
That's a good shout. A very retro shout, but a good shout nonetheless. Of course, Dan Kilpatrick. Dan, how are you, mate?
Well, thanks.
Fresh from arriving back from Stoke after the game. Did you arrive back this morning or last night?
Late last night. 2 a.m. last night.
That'd back be this morning.
Whole trip.
This morning. I mean, for pedants.
For fans of pedants.
2 a.m. this morning.
Let's dive straight in, because I've not written anything to actually talk about specifically on the running order about Stoke. Doesn't mean we're not going to talk about it. It means that I'm just going to let you guys go, because I think that was it was amazing. That was a joy to watch. That's my favourite game from this season so far, I think. Go. Speak to me. Tell me. What has this made you do? Has it made you breathe?
It's funny because for the last 4 or 5 pods, and in fact almost every day, I've been thinking that I'm very calm about the title race, and actually I'm being very professional about it and not getting carried away. But then I realised that I've been changing my view almost every week, and 1 week I'm like, yeah, we're going to do it, and the next week I'm like, I never really thought we were going to do it.
Yeah.
Which basically just shows I have no idea and I'm melting down completely. But now I really think we're going to do it. And I can't remember what I said last week, but
you said you never really thought.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, I've just changed. It was really brilliant, and I agree with you, it was probably my favourite game of the season. Well, certainly since I've been going to Spurs regularly since January, it was the best performance I can remember, and that includes Man United, Watford,
City.
Mm-hmm. I think it was the best performance I've seen live.
Something that I'm going to bring up as well, which is a good general discussion point, but the seasons that Pochettino's had in the league so far already, this is the sort of time when things start to tail off, isn't it? It's been noticeable that at Southampton, and then his first season at us, I think we probably thought that fourth place was out of reach, so there's something much more for us to be chasing in this season. But it's not a manufactured energy level, do you know what I mean? It's such a natural level of fitness now that we can put out a performance like that when our nearest rival was struggling at home to West Ham or Palace in the case of Arsenal. Did it impress you the way that we managed to keep up a level of performance and intensity, considering this is a time when teams do start to sort of fade a little bit?
Yeah, I think you're right. That was always been the adage about Pochettino, that his teams would always fade. I don't know if it helps that we've got the bigger squad for earlier in the season when the games come thick and fast, but now we're playing once a week. I think that's helping. And it told last night when we scored our third, I noticed when Kane went to hug Lamella didn't have a bead of sweat on him. He was just fresh-faced, as if he just wanted to get the ball and go back for more. And I think that's a testament to not only the players' fitness, but also the fact now we're just playing once a week, we know our team, we know what we're doing, we can really just blitz them for 90 minutes like we did.
Well, so I think that might have been, sorry to interrupt Jim, I know you're about to talk, but I think that might have been a bit of a myth that Pochettino's teams faded at the end of the season. It was just a kind of theory based on the fact that he played a really high energy pressing game.
No, there were stats to back it up that they lost.
Yeah, but my point is, there's stats to show that his teams have dipped at the end of the season, but there's not stats to show that they got tired. It's just people speculating that, oh, maybe they're tired, that's why they're not doing the business. But actually, there's lots of good reasons teams might dip. For instance, last season, having basically nothing to play for. I mean, it looked like we were going to coast into fifth or sixth. And when motivation drops, for me, that's probably a bigger factor than energy levels dropping.
Also, Pochettino's teams do a really controlled press. It's not like the first 20 minutes, say, Man United against us, where they were just running mentally.
Yeah.
Everyone knows when to press, and they conserve energy whilst pressing. Or other players conserve energy when others are pressing.
They're conditioned to do it now as well, certainly. I suppose. It's been 2 years that Pochettino's had.
The squad know what they're doing. They know how to do it. And that's why what we're left with now is the players that want to play this way. They know how to play this way, and they're bloody good at it as well.
Only two of the players that started last night's game weren't here last season, and that was Alderweireld and Dele Alli. Yeah. And you look at those two being probably in our top three performance this season as well. There's a conditioning that you have to be the right player to fit the system, I suppose, as well. But I'm struggling about the running order. I should have written some points.
Can we go back to the joy? We've got
of course.
Down
I think it was 4-0 away at a side that is traditionally like spoilers. They make things difficult for big teams or teams that are chasing something. But it just looked, we exploited every single weakness that they had, and that was from front to back. I thought that we knew that they would try to overplay it.
Well, they've taken points off Leicester, Arsenal, City, Man United, and Chelsea at home. Liverpool beat them at the Britannia on the first day. But they don't tend to drop points against the big teams at home. They get up for it. And I don't think it's a myth that it's a good crowd. You said last week it was a crap crowd.
I don't think it's a crap crowd. They're mental.
I mean, they're one-eyed idiots who are still booing Danny Rose for I don't know what anymore. I don't think any Spurs fan can really remember.
I remembered. He got
Shawcross sent off because he got pushed.
He got studded in the leg and their player got sent off. And then he scored the winner. I think this was two diseases. Yeah, under Sherwood actually.
What man?
But apparently, I put this out on Twitter last night, saying something like, why are they booing him still? Like so viciously as well. And a Sunderland fan replied to me and said that apparently he dived against them when he was on loan for Sunderland, and he won a penalty or something like that. But still, I mean, the amount of anger that you get from Stoke fans, their life expectancy must be about 32. Just such anger.
But nonetheless, I thought it was, they were a decent crowd until we scored about second or third, and then they started streaming out. And to go and do that, we just cut through them like a hot knife through butter. The amount of one-on-ones we had.
What lovely butter.
Honestly, but the amount of times we just cut them open at will.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a mean defence as well. That it is. I know that
they were without players though. Like Eric Peters was suspended.
I don't think it would make any difference whatsoever.
Yeah, I think Jack Butland may have made it 2-0, 3-0. But
I said last night on Twitter, given the circumstance, I think that's one of the best performances I've ever seen from Spurs. Not to overplay it, but it really was.
Yeah, I would
I think so too.
Away performance, I would say. I think I've seen us really fly at home, but I think away from home, in terms of what was at stake and the professionalism in which we approached it and picked them off time and time again.
The beauty of it as well, like when you know you've got to win to stay in the title, and we had to stay in the title race, and we had to win to stay in the title race, you expect there to be an element of caginess, you expect the players to feel the pressure, maybe not take risks. But I've never seen Spurs pull off so many back heels, never seen Spurs take so many risks, never seen Spurs play the ball out from tight corners so confidently. It's like, Dembele said after the game, the quotes were online today, Tuesday, that they're kind of thriving off the pressure. And like, you could really see that. Like their game went up a level when they had to win, rather than going into their shell. And that is a sign of
of a great team, I think.
And Harry Kane was saying that after the game to the cameras in the sky, he was sort of saying, we just wanted to get out there and have our go. Like, we'd watched it all happen over the weekend, and we were like, I want my go now, I want to score some goals, and he did.
And I mean, what do you think about the idea of us playing after Leicester in this running? We've got three Monday night fixtures in a row, we've just had our first. It's been a big talking point about how we're going to know Leicester's result regardless, but comments like that is going to...
Seems like it's going to be all right.
It's going to be inspiring, isn't it? Because you think, well, hold on, we've got two more of these, one of them arguably the hardest game, the game that we just don't win. Comments like that, and to see performances like that, it's heartening, isn't it, to think that it doesn't matter what Leicester do.
Yeah.
We're not going to get disheartened if they win, because we know we need... If we know we need to win, we're going to go out there and perform like that, and that's incredible, isn't
and
it?
And I think that's where it could help us, because we know that we have to win every game. Like, it's not like we're thinking, oh, we could get away with a draw here or something like that. We have to win every game now. And I think... when I first saw that we were playing like three Monday nights in a row or whatever it is, I was thinking, that's only going to help Leicester. But now we've won like that last night. If I was Leicester with no Vardy at the weekend, I'd be terrified.
Do you reckon there's that little seed?
There's got to be. You imagine being a Leicester player watching that, watching Spurs destroy Stoke in that manner. They'll be bricking it. They'll be feeling that on
so especially if they're now without Vardy for probably two games.
When did you find that out?
I don't know.
Thursday at 6 o'clock.
Thursday off, evening, then?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
So they were at Vardy for two games. He's their talisman, really, along with Mahrez, but he's the one scoring the goals. And if imagine we had to go into a title race without Harry Kane for 50% of the games, we'd be worried, wouldn't we?
A bit. Yeah. Well, let's talk about Harry Kane, because that first goal was, I thought, very Kane. I was finding the side netting, picking a spot, making sure he gave himself that yard to get a shot away. And then he's getting into positions now, and when he winds up to shoot, that I'm already just presuming he's going to score. And that's all you want from a striker. It's a bit like Bale when he was hitting him from 30 yards a few seasons ago. You at least expect it to work the keeper or get on target or produce something incredible. But Kane seems to be, he gets the ball on the edge of the area and he has a shot, and he scuffed two or three last night, really quite far wide. But I was kind of already up expecting it to go just inside the post, and especially with Shea giving him goal, who's just a washing line really now. But his all round performance was good as well. Dan, what did you think of the front four?
Well, first of all, I didn't think the first goal, he seems to have added that to his repertoire relatively recently. I wouldn't have called it like classic Kane, but he did it against Arsenal, and he seems to have... It didn't seem to be something he did much last season, but it just shows that he's improving. We said it after the Arsenal game. It just shows that he's improving all the time. Like, it's quite... I hate to say it, but you know, it's quite Henri using the defenders to kind of shield the goalkeeper and leave him unsighted and just put it in the corner. So I think that's... Again, it's just further evidence that he's scoring different types of goals and...
The best player in the league.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And also the fact, as you said, that he did miss a few and struggled to get that one out of his feet after about 5 minutes. And I think Given saved it. But for a lot of strikers, their head might go down or, you know, they might snatch at the next chance, but he's just ice cool.
He's just a monster, isn't he? Just, the way he's come on. Who would have thought it? Even when he scored that deflected free kick against Villa, who would have thought that we'd be sat
here? It seems like a career ago.
Who would have thought we'd be sat here now thinking that Harry Kane's shooting us to the title? It's proper Roy of the Rovers stuff, really.
Yeah, we've had Hot Night Through Butter and Roy of the Rovers stuff. Rich, you've got a cliche.
I was going to say, I'll get my thinking cap on.
Get your thinking cap on, there you go, you're done.
Oh, damn it.
You went too soon then.
So I think I read in the Guardian's match report, they were saying, is there a better front or attacking trio than Christian Eriksen, Dele Alli and Eric Lamela at the moment? Which is another thing to think of when you were saying about who could believe Harry Kane, who could believe that would actually be a sentence at the start of this season? We've said it so many times, but we've got a complete rookie that is... Should have had a hat-trick last night. Should we talk about the miss, because it was hilarious? Did you see the picture of Danny Rose behind him just fuming. But and then Pochettino's reaction to that, but that's, I want to see that. I want to see a manager. It wasn't like it was 0-0 at the time. We were 2-0 up. And Pochettino just wants more, doesn't he? It's more.
He just pushes for perfection. Really. Yeah. And it was like inches away, but it's like, no, not good enough. You've got to be putting that in.
It wasn't actually good enough. It was really bad, but luckily it didn't actually matter. But he got two last night, didn't he?
Yeah.
That second goal.
So say that ball from Eriksen.
Well, the ball for the second goal, but it's the finish for the fourth goal was just ridiculous. Where he cut across it, especially after missing an open goal a few minutes before.
Eriksen last night was.
Yeah, he was. Dan has just made a
bit odd. That.
A sort of savouring a fine wine type of gesture.
Yeah, it's an Italian, it's a Latino thing, isn't it? Very much.
That ball for the second goal was just.
Yeah, I mean, Stoke hasn't given up at that point, but he just took full advantage.
Well, no, it was 1-0 at that point.
Sorry, for the second goal. Yeah, you're right.
It was also
the fourth goal, he sort of waltzed through, didn't he? But then another great ball.
It was also 1-0 when Eriksen went through the middle of Stoke's defence from a Dele Alli flick.
A wonderful flick.
And he hit the bar. And there was a part of me then that was just starting to think, oh, God, we can't end this game regretting that.
You said it was unforgivable.
No, that was Eric Lamela's miss against Man United, which was unforgivable.
I take it back.
But you
did forgive him for that.
I did forgive him, yeah, because of his subsequent performance. And that's, again, me underestimating Lamela as a footballer and as a character now. I kind of thought the same last night when Eriksen hit the bar. We had Stoke earlier on in the season, and you do get that pang of doubt and thinking, oh, Stoke have got a 15-20 minute window where they're going to really push, and we could be live to regret it. And we've ended up riding that storm, so it did put us under a bit of
really
pressure. And
we won
4-0. No, but they put you under, don't they?
And I was worried about Arnautovic, but Walker, I thought, handled him pretty well.
I thought Walker was excellent.
Yeah, it was
one of his
both
best games.
Both fullbacks were brilliant.
Mm.
The ridiculous thing about Spurs at the moment is after the Man U win, there are about five different articles in the mainstream media and the dailies praising Lamela. Today I've seen an individual article on Kane, I think, in The Guardian, one on Dembele in The Telegraph. And they're all great pieces. But it just occurred to me that every single one of the starting 11 last night, you could write a legitimate, well-researched piece about how amazing they've been. Carl Walker deserves his own article. Danny Rose deserves his own article. Dyer, Dembele.
Lloris has been quiet the last couple of games. So.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't make any mistakes. You know, it's the individual levels of excellence, which is kind of fed into this team collective excellence. It's just astonishing, really.
That is a key point, I think, that the team, we've said it so many times this season, and it's so easily identifiable that we win and lose as a team. When we win by a margin of 4-0, every single player looks as if they're playing in a team that has won 4-0. You know, Alderweireld and Vertonghen didn't have much to do last night, but still hit 8 out of 10, 7 out of 10, comfortably.
James Carragher said similar, didn't he, when in the analysis after the games. It's very difficult to pick a man of the match when Spurs play well, because everyone plays well.
Or someone like Dyer as well, who you don't notice him last night, but him doing that job of going between midfield when we've got the ball, centre back when we haven't got the ball, or, you know, just that gap that he has to bridge the whole time, allowing Walker and Rose to push up, so effectively making us a 4-3-3, sorry, it's quiet. But it's so Poch, isn't it? There's no fanfare about it, but it's effective and it's working, and it could actually win us a league.
His work with the ball, though, is getting so much better. He's picking out passes that Michael Carrick or Luka Modric would pick out. Maybe overstating it slightly. He's playing balls over the top to Walker and the fullbacks that I don't see watching the game, and he's picking them out. From ground level, and he's executing it as well, which he wasn't doing at the start of the season.
Who else was good?
Everyone was good.
Who else haven't we talked about properly? Dembele. Yeah. Dembele was excellent as well.
One of his just turned on boss mode, where he was like, yeah, I'm just going to...
Yeah.
So I was worried about Mbeula because he's
yeah, Mbeula was good. Yeah. Mm. But I think Dembele realised that in about the first 5 minutes and was like, right, I'm going to step up here and dominate you. Yeah. Yeah, he really did.
I also thought that Dembele and Dier tended to mark him or get very close to him whilst leaving Glenn Whelan relatively alone just to do what Glenn Whelan does, which is nothing. Mm. And that's another just a way that we can exert strength on another team, isn't it? Mm. Just pick your player and we'll keep you quiet.
Have any of you, I've never seen Spurs counter like they did last night.
Ridiculous.
I mean, two of the four goals went from our own box to the back of Stoke's net in about 10 seconds. And I've never seen Spurs stream forward like that. And a few people, a few colleagues were saying that they thought Stoke gave up after the second goal, but I didn't really see it that way. I just thought they couldn't really cope with it. It seemed like Spurs were just attacking at all angles. It was like,
it's a bit like us against Dortmund, almost.
Yeah, not dissimilar, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's a good point, actually. But the way yeah, the way we were kind of coming forward felt very, yeah, very purposeful in much the same way that Dortmund did. Like, one moment Danny Rose would be bursting through, clean through. Next minute it would be Eriksen clinging through. Then it would be Lamella and Ali, and it was just like they didn't know where to look. It was just one player after another finding space, and the kind of interplay and the through balls. And
I think Stoke had more of a ball as well last night, which really showed how well our countering worked, just because we were like, yeah, you can have it, but as soon as we get it, we're in.
Yeah.
Very Leicester, actually. Yeah. It was very
less long balls.
Yeah, there was still that attitude of being so comfortable letting another team have the ball, that you know what you can do when you do get it back.
There's just so much purpose with our passing. Mm. There's no... Every pass is done for a reason, and it just culminated so well last night.
Could easily have been 7 or 8 nil.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's without being greedy... Well, actually, no, there's no need to be greedy because we're on plus 39 as a goal difference, which is... We are now 7 goals off of our tally of goals scored in 2008-09. So that's how recent we're talking. Like, that's... I don't know if that stat actually means anything. I was thinking about it, and I think I tweeted it last night. But it had got to mean something, hasn't it? Plus 39. We've got... Plus 39.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
can
ridiculous.
I say, it's amazing.
It's, and it's not like we're... it's stupid.
I like football, it's good, isn't it?
I like football. Yeah. It's
become very watchable recently.
Yeah, yes. Did you watch the Leicester game?
Yes.
No.
So, so you watched it, Dan. Did you cheer when West Ham scored?
Yes.
Yeah,
I jumped around up and down like a fucking maniac.
When
was that editorial justified?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, absolutely justified. Felt dirty, but it does feel like this is the sort of thing you just have to do.
I'm fine with it. I felt very deflated when they got that last minute penalty. I really did feel like it was against Spurs. It wasn't pleasant.
West Ham have done us a couple of favours.
They have Arsenal as well, didn't they? Yeah. We need United to do us a favour in a couple of weeks as well. But so speaking of United, they're the only challenge to us finishing in the top four now, I think mathematically. We need one more win to guarantee top four.
Is that where you're looking?
No, but I'm just saying, that was going to be the question. The question that I was going to ask is that we could guarantee Champions League football with 3 games to go earlier than we've ever managed top four, which I know is only twice, but still. We can guarantee that with one win or a United loss, I think.
Or
a draw if they don't win their next game. That's flown completely under the radar, isn't it? Of course, as it would do, we're in the title chase. But considering that has been the sole aim in the past for us, does it mask what has been a really ridiculously good achievement this season?
Yeah, of course it does. Like, if you offered any of us in this room Champions League football with 3 games to spare, we'd have snapped our hand off.
Mm.
Just because Leicester may win the league shouldn't detract from what a season we've had and how we're improving. As I think this team is so good that if we don't win it this year, we'll be in with a chance next year, and possibly the year after that. We just, Poch, we need to keep him.
Mm. Yeah, that.
Yeah, echo Jim's sentiments. I don't really care that we're going to guarantee top four. I know that sounds.
It just doesn't matter.
At the moment, it doesn't take stock at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, put in context.
Whatever happens now, I think it's been a successful season.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, Dan, you're skeptical of that.
The goalposts always change, don't they? You always have to reassess, and it is important to not rewrite history.
So what part would be successful of this season then?
Well, yeah, Jim's right. It would be a successful season no matter what. But you know, we've obviously got our eyes on the title now, and there's no point in pretending it won't be gutting if we don't do it.
Of course, we've never led it.
A few minutes against Arsenal, we were. Sorry.
No, it's all right. It's fine. Anything else to add on Stoke? Dan, you were saying you actually enjoyed the trip.
Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I mean, it helps when you win 4-0 away from home.
The
best performances I've ever seen live. But yeah, I thought it was the stadium's good. The atmosphere's good. I went in a professional capacity, and everything was sort of very smooth and professional. And I thought it was a good sort of away trip. As a journalist, I don't know, and I think the Spurs fans were amazing, and I'm sure everyone had a pretty good time.
It was
good.
I noticed in the first 10 minutes that Sky were dipping our mics. Whenever you heard a Tottenham chant start, they dipped it for the first 10-15 minutes. I don't know if it was intentional or what, but
the Spurs fans were great.
Just sounded like the audio was knackered.
Seeing that, there's that banner, Pochettino's blue and white,
yeah.
That image going around, and that's. I love that. I'm so happy that we've got an entirely united fan base behind it. If you're not, you can fuck off.
Did you see the quotes where he said he watched the Leicester game with Levy with a bottle of wine?
Yeah.
It's coming up.
We've got a question about that. Okay. Yeah. Well, actually, you can talk about that.
I wasn't going to say anything apart from the fact that it's not just the fan base united. It's literally it's from the top of the club to the very bottom, isn't it? Everyone is pulling together, and
he's wooed Levy.
That's like the ethos of Pochettino, isn't it? Everyone's part of the team. The kit man, the cleaner, the caterers—they're all part of Tottenham Hotspur. It's all one club.
The Stoke fans as well last night, I know some of them applauded us off, and I think Nikhil as well said, search best team Brit on Twitter, and they're saying best team ever this season, best team in the Premier League era to ever play them.
There is a few that have been flying around all day.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have believed that they would be coming out with stuff like that, considering the reaction to everything we did.
I kind of respect the Stoke fans for doing that. Like, they want to make it difficult, they want to make it a bit of a cauldron, which, fair play to them. I think any fan base would try and do the same, but then at the end of it, it was like, yeah, okay, they were pretty good.
The best team I've ever seen at the Britannia in 10 years of having a season ticket. Spurs were superb, best team I've ever seen down there. Still remember the outrage when Poch replaced Nigel Adkins. Spurs showed their class tonight, best team I've ever seen at the Brit.
Yeah.
And they're the third team now to, I'm sure there's been more, but that's the third manager and team to come out and say, they swarm us, we couldn't get close to them, they're the best team that we've played, along with, I think, Swansea and...
We're quite plainly the best team in the Premier League by quite a long way.
Ever. This one says, best team I've ever seen at the Brit, Kane and Ali were just class. Go and win it now. So people, not everyone wants Leicester to win the league.
No.
That's a lie.
I actually think that game has turned quite a few neutrals. I really do.
Especially with Vardy being a cheating scumbag. Allegedly.
Yeah, and Vardy's actions have obviously helped that. But just the reaction I've seen on the internet and social media in the past kind of 12 hours, we earned a lot of admirers last night. And it being Monday night, us being the only game on, I imagine there's a few people that would normally just watch their teams over the weekend and then tune in to say Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And they've tuned in to Spurs, and I think a lot of people have gone, wow. This is really something.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. Can I just, there was just one thing I wanted to say on the playing. I already said it.
Brilliant.
No, I'm still long.
Professional.
I was going to say something else in the playing after Leicester. It was about the Leicester players watching it, and I already said that.
Yeah.
Well, just to reiterate that,
we said
ripping it.
We said Monday Night Football. We've got another one coming up this Monday, West Brom at home. I don't know anything about West Brom. They could have not existed this season, and I would not be any poorer for it.
They've not been very good.
They're never any good, though, are they? Really?
But there's
Tom's hosting all West Brom.
I think it's a very good
shots fired. Yeah, shots.
They've not been as solid as they usually. Sorry, just going back to
they've not just been dusting a, over mum and dad fighting.
Stop it. They've not been as solid as normal, as you would expect a Pulis team to be. Hopefully, Sandro will do us a few favours.
I always forget he's there. Yeah. They've just lost to Watford. They miss, well, Berahino specifically missed two penalties against Gomez, so Tottenham past and future coming together there. probably. I hope it's not Gomez coming back. But
sorry. I know you hate him. I love him.
Yeah. Good fun. But they seem to have lost a bit of interest. I think they're safe. I don't think they're in any trouble at all now. So, but Pulis doesn't really do just turning up, does he? We're talking about Stoke spoiling parties. Pulis does that, doesn't he? Doesn't let anything sort of... Nobody's going to get their own way against Tony Pulis, are they? So what are you expecting, Rich, from the game?
I've no reason to think we won't win.
Yeah.
Yesterday for the Stoke, I was thinking... Can't see us not turning up and winning, and I feel the same next week, and I'm horribly jinxing this. But I can't see anything other than a clean sheet victory.
Does anything change with regards to what Leicester do this weekend to how you think the game will go? If Leicester lose again, is that a little bit more pressure on us, considering I'm not basing
I don't
on anything,
think they're
I'm
feeling
just
the pressure. I think they're just genuinely enjoying it. I mean, we missed the opportunity to go top and we lost to West Ham. And I don't know if this is a reaction to that. Every time we've had a setback, we've reacted to it well. Maybe this is the reaction to that, that we're not gonna give up without a fight. We're gonna do this, or they're gonna try as hard as they can to do this.
All the projections are saying that we are gonna win. If we win the title, we're gonna be winning it on the last day on goal difference, which means we're still not going to be technically ahead, if you like, if Leicester lose the last game or draw against Chelsea. So maybe the best thing for it is to never have led it until the final whistle to the
94th minute winner.
Maybe. Or even not go up there and win 4-5-0, but we technically haven't done it until we find out Leicester's result. Maybe the idea is to not put the pressure of being leaders on and just... Would we be the first ever to win it without ever being top?
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
I'd love it.
That would be amazing. It
would be incredible.
But we should
lead the league for precisely 0 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Medal?
We should make it very clear that Leicester have obviously beaten Chelsea in the last day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely no doubt about that. So they need to drop points. They need
to
lose
games. Will John Terry want to hand over his title in his last game for Chelsea to Leicester?
I think John Terry would much rather hand his title to Wes Morgan than see Tottenham win it.
Oh, that is a good point.
Of course he would. I don't believe for a minute that Chelsea are going to put up a fight. But anyway, it kind of doesn't matter, does it?
It does matter. Of course it matters.
Well, right now it doesn't. Well, maybe it does. I don't know.
We just need to win every game, though.
So Leicester have got Swansea at home, United away, Everton at home, or away. No, Everton at home, and Chelsea away. You're looking at only one of those teams having something to play for, and that's United, isn't it? That's going to be the turning point of the season if we're going to win it, isn't it?
Well, that's the weekend that they're at United, we're at Chelsea. That for me is the... That for me is, I could see both teams winning quite comfortably next. Well, without Vardy, it would be really interesting to see how Leicester do against Swansea. Because
the whole pattern of play is geared up for Vardy, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's played he started the last 44 league games for them. They just don't play in the league without him. The same is true of us and Kane. Mm-hmm. It would be, as Jim said, like us having a must-win game without Harry Kane and seeing how we reacted to it. So next weekend they could drop points. I think they'll probably have enough to beat Swansea. And then it comes down to, can we go and end that jinx at Stamford Bridge? Can they go to Old Trafford? And I don't think, United fans won't want to lose that. They'll be up for it. It'll be like a kind of power shift type moment. They'll want to claw back some respect. So that's just the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely going down this year. Definitely going down this year.
And the odds, there's odds going around with Leicester winning the title and finishing bottom half next season, and they're not that long, really.
I don't think there'll be a one season one. No. I think be
do you know? Do you think they're going to be around forever?
Not forever. I just don't. I think that they'll be around fourth place next year, probably. If I had to put money on it. They'll be pushing for the Champions League.
They've had a lot of their game is about that intensity. So they're adding a whole group stage of Champions League football, and then depending on who they get, Europa League football as well post Christmas.
They can't have played many more than 40 games all year.
That's what I mean.
We knocked them out of the cup, and I don't know, I can't remember how they did in the League Cup, but they've barely played any football.
How much would you swap that cup win for a win against them in the league now?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd have got out of the cup for it.
Of course. Definitely. Shit fan.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was West Brom. thoroughly previewed as ever. We've got some good questions actually. I mean, we've only done about half an hour, but we've got some good questions to finish on that would be good for a wide discussion. First one, Phil Westside. Not Phil.
That's me.
That's you. Sorry. Phil at Single Malt Suds. I must have been on autopilot when I wrote that. Sorry.
He's got to send us that on Twitter.
Are you enjoying watching Gary Lineker's arse fall out? Which I've enjoyed.
He was having a horror show on Twitter.
Yeah, this is in reference to the tweets that Lineker has sent out about you have to be consistent. Are you going to be booking? Are you going to be taking away his yellow card? Things like that he's been saying. And this was 2 years after three years after he sent a tweet about Suarez, which read something like, good, hope the FA are consistent on this. Immediate 10-game ban for anything, e.g. racism and abusing referees. So Vardy's get out for the next 20 games, lads.
I haven't got a massive problem with it. Do you know why? Because he's a Leicester fan. He makes no bones about it. He's football is partisan. Ask Ollie Lister. He wants Leicester to win the league.
Dan looked quizzical when you
said that. Why are we asking Ollie?
Because he wrote that article.
That's fair, yeah.
Nice reference. Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's your website. But yeah, football is partisan. He's a Leicester fan. He played for us, but he played for us for money.
Yeah, but he's also probably one of the most influential football figure in the entire country.
And he has been excusing things that he should be standing up
for. Yeah, he's also excused Vardy of racism a couple of weeks ago.
What did
Guardian
he actually
interview.
Say?
That was very strange, yeah.
He basically was speaking as if Vardy had racially abused someone on the pitch and said, in the heat of the moment, on the football field, things happen. And so the weird thing was, I was actually there when that interview was being conducted. He was sitting on an athletics track and I was about to speak to Ledley.
Nice.
A bloke was talking to Gary Lineker and they were having a really animated discussion. But I don't know why the guy from The Guardian didn't say, but it didn't happen on the football pitch, it happened in a casino in Thailand. It was slightly bizarre from Lineker. But as Jim says, he's a fan, but he's also the most influential football figure in the entire country. He's the face of football.
He's slowly entire
domestic.
He's
older brother,
isn't he? Yeah, well, it's not going too far. He's a disaster of a human being, isn't he?
Who Lineker?
No, Wayne. His older brother, Wayne.
Who's that?
Wayne Lineker.
Never mind.
He's the one that owns the bar out in, what's it?
Magaluf.
He's called Lineker because he's the most famous. He's an absolute tosser.
Really?
Massive tosser. Yeah, really strange bloke as well, but I can't believe you've never heard of him.
Why would I have heard of Gary Lineker's brother?
Because he's pretty... Yeah, he's not famous.
A bit of a C-lister.
Yeah.
I'm not going to...
He's a bit calamitous.
Hello.
I'm sorry I brought this up.
It's all right, mate. We've got 20 minutes to fill, so we might as well do Dan's knowledge of Heat magazine. I've enjoyed Lineker's... I reckon this is all going to lead to Lineker doing a really...
Doing a Keys.
Mealy-mouth apology of some sort of... Or maybe just not tweeting until the end of the season. I reckon the BBC will ask him, because they told him off for saying shit, didn't they, on his Twitter before.
Mm. Do you guys all like Gary Lineker? What's the view?
Yeah, I don't mind him. I think it's the consistency thing.
First ever favourite players. Mm. But I think he's a very good broadcaster.
Yeah, I think he's alright. It's just, he's wrong on this. Very wrong.
Yeah, I don't think he'll have to do an apology. He's just had a bit of a mare.
Yeah.
You'll get a PR team and it'll all be alright.
Yeah, it's true.
He was very full of praise last night for us. So.
Good.
Did you see who else was, by the way? Ian Wright was absolutely loving us. He was like, Dembele, Dele Alli.
Going to go controversial, I don't mind Ian Wright.
He was so wrong. He's an idiot. He's an absolute clown. He's Robbie Savage.
You see, I don't mind Robbie Savage.
Oh, what is happening on this podcast tonight?
Sol Campbell, what that?
Yeah. I've always thought his character was fun. Did you see, I did that thing...
Why are you rubbing your arms, Tom?
I did that, I found that picture of the article he wrote when he said Spurs don't have any leaders. And you wonder why his views were never taken seriously.
I am Sol Campbell.
Yeah, but I am Sol Campbell. Yeah. You're also a cop. Sean Walsh at Sean Walsh 97. Potch said he watched the Leicester game, as you, Dan, alluded to earlier, with Levy at his house. Which Spurs player would you most like to watch a game with? Let's say a high pressure, like you know when you need someone there for support.
Past or present?
Whatever you want to do.
Okay.
Up to you, my friend.
Freund would be good fun.
Do you think?
Yeah, although he might make you worse. Just like, yeah. Just calm down, step.
He'd make you make him sandwiches while you're watching it. I get the feeling that he wouldn't let you rest.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. It's a good question.
Ginola. He was Ginola.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Because no matter what the result was, I get the feeling that he'd be able to calm me down.
Mm.
I'd be mesmerised if I was in
his presence. With jeans.
Yeah, just what a wonderful man. A
hell of a tan he's got going on now as well. He's just great, isn't he? He's such a cool...
What a beautiful, beautiful
human. If Lineker gets the boot for endorsing racism... and abusing reps...
Allegedly.
Then Ginola should get the nod, I reckon, on Match of the Day.
I reckon Dyer would be good to watch it. It'd make everything okay.
He's obviously got a sense of humour, Dyer, which is needed in big high pressure games.
Yeah.
If it all goes tits up, you need to be able to see the funny side.
I tell you, I wouldn't want to watch it with Danny Bloody Rose.
Bloody nightmare.
Shouting, throwing
energy.
Toby
would be a good one. Because he'd just, him and someone like him and Lloris, who would just, what, a very que sera attitude to it. And just watch and calm you, and just that. But they would analyse the game with you as well. They'd just be like, "This is why we have gone wrong." Like, I get it. I understand, Toby. Dan, you haven't answered yet.
Dele Alli.
Why?
Again, I think he's got a sense of humour. Quite like to get to know him. I reckon we could be mates.
You do. I do think. I sometimes think like I'd love to be mates with Eric Dyer.
Yeah.
So would I.
He would definitely have you back in a fight.
The thing I always forget though is like I'm maybe like 10 years older than Dele Alli.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it would be a bit weird to be mates with him. Like, imagine if I came to the pub and I was like, here's my mate, he's just turned 20. Like,
yeah, it's fair.
At least he's not a teenager anymore.
Yeah, he's, yeah, that's...
Which Sky do not stop helpful. Saying.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I had to sort of raise my average age on Tinder, because I kept matching these 20-year-olds, and I was like, nah, just, I'm not going to go on a date with anyone that young. So yeah. I probably wouldn't go on a mandate with Ali.
So our equivalent would be...
Jim's looking at me in disgust, but that's good, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
He's glad that you're taking some professional action.
Yeah. It's good that you've recognised the problem and tried to rectify it.
Half your age plus seven, that's the rule.
So I'm 28. So
21?
Yeah, 14, yeah, half 14 plus seven, 21.
So there's nothing wrong with it, Jim?
There wasn't anything wrong with it before, it's just you're the one that came down to say there was something wrong with it.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's not that I thought there's anything wrong with it. I just can't see myself going on a date with someone who's 20, 21, and then having anything in common to chat about.
What would you talk to Dele Alli about?
Yes, you could go and take Dele Alli with you.
Yeah, and but then he's single. He said on the Spurs TV video the other day.
This is so weird.
And he's probably like, well, definitely got...
Where would you take Dele on your first date?
Don't say that. Don't put yourself
down. Where would you take him on your first date? Oh, if you and Dele matched on Tinder, what would your opening line be? Like, you've both swiped right. What would your inner be?
Nutmeg me.
That's a good one. I'll probably just be like, cracking goal against Palace.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And then where would you go if it led to a date? Where would you go?
I don't know, Jim. I imagine he'd be up for Nando's. I'd probably suggest somewhere a bit more upmarket.
Ask me anything. Knowledge. Not knowledge. Shall we do the final question? Because it's from Ollie, who is in Thailand. And sadly not here, but thankfully Rich is.
That's fine.
Ollie Lister, what was the turning point this season turned from good to amazing?
Man City away.
That late?
Yeah.
No.
Man City away?
Yeah.
Got confused. I said that's fair, but that's
when,
was
that's
pretty
when
good
I believed.
Before.
That's when I really believed. But it's from good to great, he said.
Good
that's
to amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's when I believed.
Okay.
See, that's funny because I'd said Man City at home.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
that's where I thought you were going.
Yeah.
Because it was then I was like, oh crap, we're actually quite good.
That was the first time that Harry Kane scored all season.
Yeah. It was also the quotes after that game, though, that, and we've spoken about it before, but now we are where we are, it feels like there's more gravitas behind the quotes from Eric Dyer after that game. You know, we didn't like what we heard people saying about Spurs, and like, I think a lot was made of it at the time, and we loved it, but we just kind of failed to see just how much that can mean to a football team when a mentality is so entrenched into we're not going to be made out to be mugs, and it's a winning mentality, isn't it? And that, in a non-footballing sense, was a big turning point for me to think there's something behind this team. And I didn't think we'd ever be in this position, but I thought we're at least going to see a team that's going to be fighting for something the whole way. If it was a cup, top four, don't know. But that was the most pleasing thing for me, and that's what I thought. This is good. We knew it was good because the first season under Poch was good, but the things started to just take a bit of a turn, and then we went on that unbeaten run as well, didn't we? Rich, what did you think?
Yeah, well, it was that Man City home game where I genuinely started to believe, like, well, we could be doing something a bit special here, like you say, be it in the league or the cup. I'm trying to think of other notable mentions.
There's loads of seasons as well. Yeah. Watford away.
I know it was
Results last minute winner.
Bournemouth as well, we've had some good results. I know it's Bournemouth, but the 5-1 at Bournemouth where we was like, yeah, we're just too good for you.
Yeah, that is true. And there's been a few moments that actually this season where we've had the great results like against City and against United, but we're just too good for you. It's been at least 6 or 7 games this season, I would say.
I think last night was the first time I really realised just how bloody good we are.
Mm.
Because it reminded me of like the dominant United and Chelsea teams where we just completely suffocated the other team and just were ruthless. That's the first time I've ever really seen us just be in total control from beginning to end.
Our final goal as well last night, the finish reminded me of Taino in the fourth.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
West Ham.
West Ham, yeah. Carbon copy.
That's a great, that is a brilliant shout.
Yeah, so that got me.
It'd be good to watch him actually with teaming.
Yeah. Taino,
yeah.
He loved it. The cup final thing when he was
pointing the score. One of my favourite things.
Legend.
Sven, forever legend for that.
Trumpet was going mental, wasn't
he? He was. Other turning points I would say as well, Swansea at home, coming from behind.
Yes.
In a game where we needed to win. And that was there's a turning point in different aspects, and I think for me, the mentality was the Man City game, the results was the Man City away game, but the crowd in that Swansea game, that was a turning point for White Hart Lane, I felt, this season. It's been good, and it's been so much better than it has been in previous seasons, but hearing us at 1-0 down, immediately snapping to come on you Spurs, half-time, no boos, everyone saw how well we were playing, 60 minutes, still 1-0 down, 65 minutes, still 1-0 down, 70 minutes, get the equaliser, within minutes we've got the winner. And I don't think it happens without the crowd involvement as well. That was the belief, that was a turning point as well. We can do it the hard way. It's not just going to be rolling teams.
Everyone's picked a win, but I'm almost tempted to go for Newcastle.
The defeat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was a turning point. Because I've said it before, but I do think before that game, or during that game, that we got a little bit obsessed with not being beaten. Because it was, 14 games, and that there didn't seem to be the drive to beat teams and put them away like we saw last night. And I think that Spurs slightly lost their way, and that defeat was a real wake-up call. And I'm sure that Pochettino used that, as he's used every defeat this season, to really spur the team on. But I haven't checked, but I'm pretty sure we won 5 on the bounce after that.
Yeah.
You both said on the pod at the time, after the Newcastle defeat, when we were in that little office.
Yeah.
you were sitting on the box.
Yeah. You both said exactly that, and.
It could have been the best thing that happened to us, losing that game.
Possibly.
Yeah, I mean,
who have we lost to this season? We lost to United opening day, Newcastle.
United, West Ham, Leicester and Newcastle.
West Ham, yeah, I forgot about West Ham. But after each one, we've reacted.
Yeah, and it's so painful looking back at all of those defeats now. Kind of with the exception of Man U, because that slightly feels like a different season.
Imagine Kyle Walker's own goal on the first day of the season cost us a league.
Yeah, it's looking back at all those defeats, it's just weird. I think the Newcastle one, obviously the Leicester one's going to be potentially the most significant, but I do think the Newcastle one was a real point where Pochettino said, right, it's not about being unbeaten now, it's about winning games and pushing on, and we did start to win more games after that.
We can feed off that for future seasons as well. That's not a... It doesn't have to be standalone to this season. If we don't win the title this season, there's, like you were saying, you really feel like there's a foundation being built for us to challenge next season as well. And I think defeats like the one at Leicester, you know, if you lose against your title rivals, you're probably going to come second. It's how it happens. If you lose at home to Newcastle, who are most likely going down in second bottom, you're gonna not achieve the ambitions that you could have achieved at the end of the season. So that was a learning curve, wasn't it? So
yeah, and to touch, like when Dan mentioned this, to not look at a win, it's the draws as well, maybe like games at Arsenal where typically we would have probably lost, and to be disappointed at only drawing as well, that's a nice change. It's nice to be able to be disappointed at that.
In both games against Arsenal as well, but I think particular, and I think away at Arsenal was another turning point as well, because I think that was our biggest, that was our hardest game, or our biggest game, let's say, since the opening game against United. We built up a bit of a head of steam, and then suddenly we went there and we bossed them for 75 minutes, conceded a goal, we ended up not winning. We probably could have lost that game, but again, it's that learning curve, isn't it? Use that for future seasons. I want to see us with pretty much the same lineup, go to the Emirates next season and be like, we should have won here, and this should have been one of the results that won us the league.
Yeah, if that game was this weekend, we would have won it.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. But that's same as United, isn't it? United away, if that didn't happen first game of the season, we probably would have won that game by now. Yeah, it's timings and stuff. Newcastle was an anomaly, I think, but yeah, United is, I think we could have them any time now. which is mental.
We just did a couple of weeks
ago. Well, yeah, you know what I mean? Why that Old Trafford? I do think we would have them now. It's just been so good, isn't it? For us to be able to sit here and go, there isn't one moment we can pick. Whereas before, season's gone past, there's probably one or two things that we've been able to pick out of a whole season. But it's been so many.
It's just been so consistently good. That's the thing with this season.
I mean, we hit 11 about Christmas and we've not stopped.
Well, if you look at the form table since Christmas, we're now, I think, 4 points ahead of Leicester. And we just don't look like letting up. It's title-winning form.
Well, the other day I looked at since the Leicester defeat, we've taken two more points than them. So something like Spurs, I need to double check, but I think Spurs have got 33, Leicester have got 31. So it just goes to show how significant that defeat was. It was more or less a...
Well, that swing would see us a point ahead, wouldn't it? Would it? If we'd have beaten...
Yeah, it would now, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all...
That'd be a horrible situation.
Right, that's it for the Tottenham Way podcast this week. Rich Arrowsmith, thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you, mate. It's been good.
Maybe we're getting to the stage where this may be the last appearance of the season for you. So,
well,
I thought we'd do the drum spot if we win.
Well,
the time.
Hopefully the end of season bonanza will happen. Nice. Regardless of the result and where we finish, I think we should do that.
I think we should just hire this room and have a piss up in the season regardless.
With the mic on.
With the mic on for sort of the first half an hour maybe.
Oh yeah. And then we go after dark. Jim, thank you very much for coming down.
Cheers, mate.
Next time we get you on, hopefully have your trusty sidekick.
What, Rich?
Yeah, sorry Ollie, big usurped Ollie. That's what happens when you go on holiday.
Cat Dealy.
Yeah, that's fair. Dan Kilpatrick, thank you very much. See you next Tuesday, I suppose.
This is great banter.
That is really top.
How long have you been planning that?
I haven't. I really didn't. I got halfway through it and I thought, at the end of that sentence, I thought, right, I'm going to leave that there and I'm going to carry on the sentence. But you immediately tweaked it, pulled a face and made it into a joke. Is that what you want the Tottenham Way podcast to be, Dan?
No, that's what you've made it.
Thanks, yeah. Fuck his alter ego, Dan Gilly P.
Oh, yeah, it's going
to
squeeze one in.
How to squeeze it in? Edit that out.
Do you really
cunt.
Like it?
And
that's all staying in there. It's all staying in. Thank you very much for joining us for this disgustingly explicit Tottenham Way podcast. Yeah, we'll see you next Tuesday. Come on, you Spurs.